And welcome to Subject to Galactica, I guess it would be. Anyway, whoa, I'm impressed. The your listenership went shot through the roof today. Anyway, those of us who are those of you who are just listening and joining us on LV Rocks, you can go into the chat room from LVRocks.com, click on Chat and Cam, and join us in the chat room. And we'll bring on Zenu in just a few minutes. I think it's how you pronounce his name, Zena. I know it's not a woman, but to talk about the new series on Sci-Fi Channel, and give us a little. Well, he's got insight because there's a version of the show, or the episodes have already apparently done airing over in the UK. And so he's give us. I told him don't spoil the plots because we don't want to know what the plots are, and we just want to know, you know, any huge surprises.
So this ship received word.
Oh, here we go.
A Cylon attack against our home worlds is underway. As of this moment, we are at war.
Edward James Olmos, new Commander Adama, and let's see if that works. Number one should be. There we go. Zenu is his name. Zenu. The UK theme, as I was saying, there's two versions of the theme song, of the theme score for the opening music. Our version here is a little different. It's more of a orchestral, not really orchestral, just like a music interlude. And the one over in the UK is more of that woman singing and everything else. Bonnie Hammer, who is in charge of the Sci-Fi Channel, I guess she made the decision to have a different theme for the United States version of the show. So, and that's the Ragnar Anchorage music there. But and so it's different. And Zeno should be joining us in just a few minutes, and we'll talk about the show. I said that now the Galactica started in 1978-79. It was created by Glenn A. Larson as a spinoff or a copy of you, if you will, from Star Wars. And it aired for, it barely made it through its first season. It cost over $1 million an episode to create.
Glenn A. Larson's done a lot of stuff.
Fall Guy.
Knight Rider.
Knight Rider, Buck Rogers. Don't forget that. We'll excuse him from that one, too. And then Galactica 1980. Now, that's a nightmare. Everybody wants to forget about that one.
That's the one where they found Earth, actually.
They found Earth, and Adama had a beard. Everybody was dead except for him. You know, the oldest guy in the show is still alive. Everybody else is gone, you know, except for Boxy. It was played by Kent McCord from Adam 12. Remember that?
Boxy,
then,
the mechanical dog?
No, the dog was gone, too.
Oh, the mechanical dog.
Everybody was killed off in that version.
How do you kill out a mechanical dog? Did he get blown up or something,
I guess?
He didn't die of old age, did he?
I guess, but Adama was still there. And anyway, and that show didn't make it, and it was hokey, and, you know.
I was pretty perturbed, though, when I saw they made Starbuck a woman.
Well, I don't know. It was reimagined. Ronald Moore, he came up, it was for a couple of years now. A revival has been in the works. Now, Richard Hatch, who played Apollo in the original Galactica, not Richard Hatch, the Survivor guy who's just been indicted, but he dug into his own pocket to create a trailer for a possible revival of the show with some of the original cast members. Well, you know, that didn't sell. And then Glenn A. Larson, he came up with a continuation of the original show, and, you know, that didn't sell. So, but the every time they reran the episodes of the original series, the ratings were through the roof, and then the demand is there. You go on to sci-fi.com message board, you look at how many people are on that Galactica message board. It's most and pretty much all those other shows put together. I mean, and it's just incredible. So then Sci-Fi went ahead and said they gave it to Ronald Moore and David Icke to reimagine the show. And so they pretty much let him have free reign, except over the theme music, of course. And but you know, they reimagine. You know, Starbuck is a woman. Boomer is a woman, don't forget. It's a Korean woman. He was black in the original show.
And the last episode, they kind of hinted on she's...
A Cylon.
Well,
they pretty much said she was, because they watched the miniseries. She came out at the end.
So that doesn't really follow. Because Boomer's a Cylon now.
Well, I mean, there are many Cylons. Some are sleeper agents. They don't know they're Cylons until they're activated, see?
Which is a good little mystery.
Yeah. And, well, there's a lot of people in the chat room. Look at that. It's come to life. And something's wrong with the studio cam, Con. What's up with the studio cam? I don't know why anybody wants to look at us anyway, but maybe they think we're Vulcans or something, but it's a wrong show for that. And so anyway, Ronald Moore, he produced Star Trek, actually, the show for a while. I got this off the sci-fi.com/Battlestar, but the bios of Ronald Moore. And he said he got started in entertainment business by joining the he wrote an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation in 1989 called The Bonding. And then he joined the writing staff of the TNG, and eventually he became was promoted to a producer. And during his tenure, he wrote or co-wrote 27 episodes of The Next Generation, including the two-hour series finale, All Good Things, which many people said should have been the movie, the first movie. It should have been, instead of Generation, should have been All Good Things. And for which he won a Hugo Award in 1994, and that year Moore was also honored with an Emmy nomination when the show was nominated for Best Dramatic Series. And also, after The Next Generation went off the air, he joined the writing staff of Deep Space Nine as supervising producer, and he was elevated to co-executive producer in 1995. He spent five seasons with Deep Space Nine as a producer until the end of its seven-year run. So then he hopped over to that show that didn't last very long, Good vs. Evil, and then he wound up finishing off Roswell. And he's also one of the honchos over at Diggs' favorite show, Carnival. So, and now he's...
I like the way they do the special effects, did you watch the behind-the-scenes half-hour thing? Before?
Absolutely, the lowdown.
Yeah, the lowdown, that's what they call it. And the way they kind of explained it, where they do the space scenes, like, a guy's in a space suit out there, and the camera's kind of, like, wiggling. Like trying to focus on everything.
It's documentary
that's
style. Yeah.
Sort of, and I
it's
like
cool.
That.
Some movies have done it in the past, like,
And it's not a lot of, you know, a lot of space shooting scenes are just loud. Like when you see shooting, it's just loud. You know,
there's no noise in space. That's why. They had to make a little noise because I remember watching
what
something.
What I'm saying is you don't have big laser blasts, you know? Mm-hmm. And the shots are actually partially kind of sound like laser / gun sounding.
Yeah.
Not just total laser. So that's what I... And if I'm not mistaken, there's two different types of Vipers, isn't there?
Well, there's the old Viper, the model...
Whatever it
Mark
is.
7, Mark 2. We'll get Xeno 1.
But the one
I'm
that's
up
in the
on
older
it, but not
version.
That much. Yeah, that's the old version, because if you watch the miniseries, they unveiled when they're going to decommission the ship, the Galactica, the...
doesn't make any sense, because the Galactica they have now...
Uh-huh.
Totally different.
The shape is the same as the
old one.
It's more of
an
aircraft carrier. Or it harkens back
aerodynamics
to Wing Commander. If you watch the movie Wing Commander with Freddie Prinze, that's the Tiger Claw and the Galactica are somewhat look like, you know, it's a real battleship in this one. And Galactica in the original series, well, it's what reimagined. They're not supposed to have any of the original ships, except they did a nod towards the original show with the Vipers. And then if you watch the miniseries, they walk by the museum because the Galactica was being turned into a museum, and they had the old the series version of the Base Star sitting there, and then and then they had the old Cylon and the toaster sitting there. So, but
well, they totally changed the Cylons.
Yeah, a little more.
But the ships, especially.
Yeah. And the ships are now Cylons themselves. You know, they made a point, and then they had the technology where they could jam the Vipers that the new Vipers that Galactica had. So that's why they had to go back to the old ships, because Cylons were knocking out the new technology. They were able to
that's
get
that's what
the,
that little red thing on their ships.
Yeah.
Flashing back and forth.
Because if you watch the miniseries, Dr. Baltar, he had the technology. He was on the Defense Council, and he let the Cylons into the defense mainframe of the colonies of Kobol, and they were able to infect the computers of all these new ships and knock them out. Whereas the Galactica is not a network computer.
That's right. I remember Adama saying, "I'm not going to have the ship networked. I don't want it networked."
Exactly, and that's why the Galactica survived. You know, but they didn't say in this one it's the only surviving Battlestar. In the original series, they went on a point and says, "Sir, we are the only surviving Battlestar."
No,
they left that out there.
Well, in the original, they were the only Battlestar. There were actually two, though. One gets destroyed as
Pegasus.
They're trekking. What is it called?
The Pegasus. Okay. Yes. with Lloyd Bridges played Commander Kane. But anyway, there's a now you go on the sci-fi.com board. There's a big battle over what ships, what episodes of the original series should they remake and everything else. But I just don't think they should go there. They should leave that alone and move on. And you can come up with something, original versus rehashing episodes.
You're gonna screw up the.
But and then if you watch this past show, they had Richard Hatch was on. He played Tom Zarek, who played like a Nelson Mandela type of a character on the prison ship. And they needed to get water because they lost all their water. And they, supposedly it was Boomer that was planting these bombs. There's the call.
Yeah.
There you go. The phone's ringing. Okay. And then the detonations went off and they lost almost all their water, 60% of the water in the Galactica. And they had to find this ice plant. They got this ice plant, which is the same reminiscent of Plant Zero from the original series. And then they went the whole thing with trying to get the prisoners down there to mine the water and bring it up to the Galactica. And so it turned out to be a hostage situation. But anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves because they did the first show was 33. Is Zeno on? Zeno on? Okay. Zeno, are you there? Oh, hold on one moment. Zeno? Oh, what are you doing?
Tribe of humanoids engaged in a terrifying conflict against a race of machines. The humans lost.
Just hold on until this is over.
Now, led by their last surviving warship, the mighty Battlestar Galactica, a handful of survivors move slowly across the heavens in search of their ancestral brothers. A tribe of humans, known through ancient records to be located somewhere on a distant, shining planet. A planet called Earth.
Zeno? Hello. You there? Maybe he's not there. Zeno?
Can you guys hear me?
Ah, here you go. There you go.
You guys are a little bit faint. I can hear you.
Oh, we're a little faint? Oh, well. So welcome to the show. I'd like a little our little entrance music for you there. That was pretty cool, huh?
Very cool.
Yeah, Con here's got all the audio files here at the touch of a button. We could launch some Vipers or whatever else we're going to do here.
You guys got any, like,
the one thing I'd like to ask.
Guy sounds or anything like that?
What'd you say?
You guys got any like funny morning zoo guy animal sounds?
Morning zoo guy sound?
No, we're not.
This is?
Yeah, we're not that cheesy. Good. No. You know on the original series, they had the little joystick that they flew with. One was the fire button.
Yes.
One was the burst. What was the I am button? There was a button that said I am.
I'm the wrong guy to ask for the minutiae like that.
Oh, yeah. What the hell?
On the old show.
Yeah, yeah.
But all I remember about that stick is there was entirely too many cutaways to it. That's all I remember about that, basically.
To the stick. Well, they done a couple cutaways on the new show to it, too, but not as perverse as the old show was.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, exactly.
They always show them, hitting turbos and everything else. I mean, that was kind of like, I think we know what they're doing, what I mean?
Yeah, your turbos in space, that's another interesting point, too.
Now, give the listeners out there, this is Zeno from GalacticaStation.com, one of the biggest fan sites out there. Tell the listeners a little bit about your site. I think everybody knows, but just in case those have fallen off the, out of a rock, let us know.
All right. Well, we're at GalacticStation.com. We're a news page and a message board, discussion board and stuff. We have a front page, which is basically a news blog that keeps everybody up to date on just basically any news story that comes along that even happens to mention Galactica. And then we have a strong and still growing message board community with we have got over 400 members now. We've been online actually only for a couple of months or so now. But we're already one of the biggest message board communities in the Galactica, fandom universe there, and that's pretty much us.
Very good.
A bunch of guys that like the show.
Yeah, you have about 400 members of your site.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, just hit the 400 mark a couple of days ago.
Yeah. Now, I was touching on how the coming back of the show started. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if you've been listening to the whole show or not, but it started off with the reruns, of course, airing on Sci-Fi, and the ratings were through the roof, and a constant fan campaign to get the show back or something. And the several attempts to bring the show back failed, right? Because it just, Sci-Fi shot it down for some reason. They didn't like the script or the concept or something, correct?
Yeah, there was a bunch of stumbling blocks along the way, exactly.
Yeah, and then even Glenn A. Larson, he wanted to do a movie with, I think, somebody that did the X-Men. Is that right, DeSanto?
Brian Singer and Tom DeSanto, X-Men team, exactly.
And that went down in flames, right?
Didn't work out. 9/11 is generally
blamed for that.
The cause for the derailment of that particular project. The the atmosphere in the studio just changed, and Singer was really itching to get over to X2 at the time, and they basically didn't want to hang the whole project just on DeSanto. Singer was the one they were interested in, and that's why that fell through the cracks.
Hmm. And then, now, did Sci-Fi go to Ronald Moore or an Ike, or how'd that come about?
Sci-Fi,
do you know?
I don't know the exact specifics of this as well as some other people might, but it's my understanding that Sci-Fi did approach Moore and not the other way around.
Because of his Star Trek experience, correct?
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
And then Ike was on board already because he's done a couple shows. He's done with Good versus Evil. I forget what else he's done. What else is Ike?
G versus E. I'm not sure his whole filmography either, but I know that
did Hercules.
He for a while, and he was, he's made a little bit of a name for himself, so they brought him on board as well.
Yeah, he did Hercules and Xena.
Right.
He did American Gothic.
All the Sam Raimi shows.
And he did the direct-to-video sequels of Darkman, which is a good movie, and then the pilot for Mantis. So he had quite a bit of experience in sci-fi.
Oh, yeah.
So then they went to Ronald Moore, and then they went about to reimagine the series, right? They pretty much let him do whatever they wanted with it, right?
From what I understand, they pretty much gave him carte blanche. They said, let's just start from square one, and which is, probably after such a long, after, 25 plus years was probably the only way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just kind of the thing he took, and he just kind of took that ball and ran with it.
Yeah, so they threw out they kept the main premise of the show, which was the destruction of the colonies, but everything else they tossed out the window. I mean, they kept Adama, they turned him into Edward James Olmos, and they brought on a president, Mary McDonnell, from, she was in, the big movie I remember from was Dancing with Wolves. That's the only thing I've seen her in, so she was in something else.
She was in,
Independence Day.
She had a small role.
Wife. She's a fantastic character actor. She's
yes.
popped up in all kinds of things. I know she's been nominated for several awards, and pretty sure she's gotten a couple of Emmys. I'm not sure what else.
And almost, of course, he was in Miami Vice, and he did that movie, he played the principal, Stand By Me, and he did a show on PBS, Making America, something like that, about a Hispanic family.
Yeah, I know the show you're talking about. I can't remember the exact title. And then, of course, he did American Me, which was his project, mm-hmm. his little personal thing. And then he was in Blade Runner, of course. And so he's got a sci-fi background from way back.
Yeah. So they assembled the cast, and they went about redoing everything. They changed the ship. They changed the Galactica into more of a state-of-the-art in America.
A little more streamlined, it's still recognizably the Galactica, but
yeah.
A little more streamlined now.
And they said, I remember seeing something where Moore said he wanted to make a nod towards the original series. They kept the same basic design, they just tinkered around with it a little bit. And then the base, the Cylon base star, of course, they redid that. It looks like, I don't know what the hell it looks like. I guess it looks like a star. I don't know.
Somebody said, like some weird form of sea life to me, I've always thought.
Somebody said it looks like an organism of the female anatomy. I'm like,
I don't know. That's the kind of direction you
want to
take,
I'm
sure.
Well, I mean, there is a... actually, on this show, there is a... Oh, yeah, she's in Grand Canyon, Gemini 1999 is telling me. And actually, the show that almost did on PBS was American Family.
American Family, that was it.
Yeah.
That was it.
And, of course, they redid the Cylons, and they made Trisha Helfer. She's now the Cylons look like humans. They redid that, and they changed that to more and more... probably less budget for special effects. They'd probably have to make them human so they wouldn't blow through all their money.
I'm guessing that was initially, almost certainly a budgetary decision.
Sure.
Which is, I think, ended up working in the series' favor, but that's probably where the initial decision for that came from.
Yeah, well, they could go with this forever because, I don't think, they're trying to detect who's the Cylon, who's not, so they could stretch this conspiracy out through the run of the series.
That's an entirely new element of the show.
Yeah. And then the Cylons are CGI. They look a little more menacing than they are, and their hands turn into guns and everything else.
Yeah.
And so basically, they just reconfigured the whole show besides the premise.
It's really cosmetically, it's an entirely new show. The premise is the heart of the premise is basically the same, and even a lot of things that don't seem like they're the same on initial viewing, a lot of the elements are still there. That's mm-hmm. What's really the drastic difference is just in tone.
Yeah, it's
and
a little more
kind of a look of the whole show.
Yeah, it's a darker tone,
a much more documentary feel to it, mm-hmm. a less Hollywood look, and it's just a little a little grittier, a little more down to earth.
Yeah, and then of course, and then they start filming the miniseries in I think April of 2004.
Yeah, early 2000, I believe.
And the show aired a year ago in January. The miniseries, am I correct? Was it January?
That's right.
I think so.
December actually.
Or December.
Yeah, December.
December. And the ratings were through the roof. It was the highest-rated sci-fi miniseries, I think, in their history,
that's
I believe.
I
and then they gave them the green light, and then there was a little pause there because they weren't sure if Sci-Fi was going to go ahead with the series or not. I don't know, was it a budgetary issue they were talking?
I think it was, again, the money issue.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It could be a myriad of things.
Yeah, because, I know on the sci-fi.com board, and I think on your board, too, they're saying that how, how they're going to pay for all this, because it almost doesn't come cheap. I'm sure Mary McDonnell, I'm sure, doesn't come cheap.
None of the stuff they're doing comes cheap.
Yeah, and a lot of people are batting around on this. They'll recast Adama with, you know, somebody else playing him. And
the same issues they had back in the 70s.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And then of course, Sci-Fi was in the middle of the merger with NBC, so that kind of held things up. And I guess apparently they gave it the green light. Obviously, they gave it the green light. And then the cast all came back, so... And then they started, you know, filming the show, and then they brought Richard Hatch on. Yeah, you know, granted, it was probably a ratings gimmick to get the show kicked off. Correct? Is it new?
You know, I think it partially was. I don't think it was completely a ratings gimmick.
No, it was part of it, though. I mean,
but I think it was definitely an attempt to, you know, to kind of bridge the gap and kind of, you know, extend sort of an olive branch to the old fans in a way.
That too, and also it'd be the second or third episode between how you're looking at it. They ran the 2-hour premiere of the show, but it was two episodes. It wasn't one 2-hour episode. It was two shows.
Right.
And I'm sure part of it, they want to get within the first four episodes, you know, they put Hatch in there and it spiked the ratings and bring all the original show viewers in. And then, of course, it boosted the ratings. And it did. There were some ratings fall off from the first to the second. But, I mean, the ratings, it's within normal, apparently. It only dropped off 17% in the ratings, if I understand.
And, well, I'm not sure what the last numbers were. There were initial reports that it had actually gone up between the first and second week.
I'm not sure
how much of that I would attribute to Hatch's appearance. I'm sure that it was a factor in it, but I'm only saying that in part because the way that Sci-Fi advertised it, I didn't really see them pushing his appearance that much. I didn't see any spots where, and if I'm wrong, correct me, because I certainly didn't see every spot that they ran, I'm sure, but I didn't see anyone where they mentioned him by name or really kind of played up his appearance other than just running clips on the show like they would with any other show.
Yeah, you really didn't see the ad campaign. I mean, before the show aired, my goodness, the ads are all over the place for the season, you know, the series premiere.
Right.
I mean, USA, I think they had a whole page in USA Today. I know out here in Vegas.
It was all through the media. It was everywhere.
Yeah, and it's got to be complimented. I mean, you know, Sci-Fi or NBC, whoever, they rolled out everything they had for this. A lot of people, I have to agree, that they really, I didn't see much, unless I missed that, on NBC itself. Not much advertising for the show itself on NBC. Did you happen to see anything on Joey or anything like that?
I can't say that I really watch a lot of just regular primetime network television.
Yeah.
But I did, even though I don't watch a lot, I did happen to still see several ads for the show. So I did get the impression that it was being, you know, at least fairly heavily promoted. I didn't get the impression that it was oversaturated either. So I don't, you know.
And a lot of people are saying it's like it's The West Wing meets Battlestar Galactica. There's a lot of political drama.
There is a lot more talking head stuff than there was in the old show. Sure.
Yeah, and other people say it's like Melrose Place meets Galactica because they got all the sex going on in there. You had Baltar and what's her name?
Number six.
There you go. Number six, you know, in doing it, and now she's embedded in his mind. But I don't want to give away too much. But supposedly she's going to come on to the Galactica, correct?
Without giving away too much, number six makes an appearance somewhere outside Baltar's psyche at some point.
Without giving away too much, it should be
an excellent episode, and it's really cleverly done. I don't want to give too much away, but it's a lot of fun.
I think all the episodes so far have been excellent. I think I haven't had any complaints. I mean, the last one with Richard Hatch's Tom Zarek was excellent. They had that Callie get attacked by that prisoner. She bit off his ear.
The last episode you saw was Bastille Day. It was number three.
Bastille Day. And I thought it was very well done. And they left it open for Hatch to come back, which I believe he is coming back.
Hatch does come back later on in the season, maybe or maybe not in the way you expect. I think it was a good episode. I think it was it's actually, as good as it is, probably one of the lesser episodes of
the season,
I think.
Which one? This one or the one coming?
This one here, Bastille Day, the one you just saw.
Wow.
So it only gets better from here on out in a lot of
really?
Aspects,
I thought this one was damn good.
Why did the UK get to see the episodes first?
Well, the UK has seen them all now.
Yeah, because they put up...
As of Monday.
They put up about a third to a half of the money to produce the show, right?
They put up a good amount of money. I'm not sure of the exact percentage, but they did, and the part of that deal was they get first dibs on broadcast rights.
Well, I mean, I guess that's all right. We can let them do that. I mean,
it was all right. I don't think that's something that Sci-Fi or anybody else will ever let happen again. I think it was probably a mistake overall to do that. Yeah, let me switch phones here.
So you think if there probably will be, but we don't know yet. If there is a second season, Sci-Fi will have, no, we are the show first here, and then you guys get over there?
Say that one more time.
Oh, if the show is renewed, which it probably will be, unless something happens. I mean, like I said, I think on your board, with these networks, anything can happen. But, I mean, if it's renewed for a second season, Sci-Fi, will they insist that the show airs here first?
I would guess they would insist on a simultaneous airing at the least.
Really?
I would just have to guess. If only for the fact that they just don't want to spoil the show for the American fans, which is, you know, it's all you can do not to be spoiled if you're even going to do the most cursory, you know, research for it on the net. If you're a fan just happen to go on, you know, see the new show and like it, you know, you could very easily run into something that, you know, makes you not care about watching the next 12 episodes because you know what's going to happen. So
for
several reasons, the downloading being one of them, even though I don't think that was a huge factor in anything.
No. Well, Ronald Moore came on to, I think, in his blog or somewhere, I think right on your site, that he issued a statement that asking people not to download the show. He wants everybody to watch it because the show needs the ratings, you know. So it kind of makes sense. I hate to see, you know, the ratings suffer because people are downloading it or anything else. But,
well, I mean,
you know,
they're absolutely in the right to do that. I mean, that's their property, and they're simply protecting their property. I mean, that's copyrighted material, and that's, you know, and the distribution of it, you know, is, you know, whoever does it, and, you know, I'm not condoning anything like that, of course, but.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's going to happen, but it's, you know, it's, that's the stance that they should take. I mean, even if he secretly in the back of his mind wanted the fans to download it and see it legally to cover his ass, he better say that. You know?
And then actually Viper 8547 saying Active Contrition is one of their favorite episodes.
That's a fantastic episode.
Is it good?
It really is.
Well, they say that the show just builds from here on. It gets better with
every. It really does. It you can tell that they really planned the story arc ahead and really took time to use entire episodes as tension builders and to kind of just amp it up, and then they use a couple of episodes as kind of a breather and kind of, you know, relax the atmosphere a bit. They've really done a masterful job of arcing that through.
I mean, relax the atmosphere. They're not playing basketball like they were on Galactica on the original show, are they?
There's no casino planets.
There's no casino. They're not playing with the dog, are they?
Or anything like that, yeah.
Adama's not playing with the dog, is he?
We haven't seen any dogs, mechanical or otherwise, unless I've missed them.
He's not singing or anything or riding a horse.
Nothing, no. Fred Astaire hasn't shown up, no tap dance.
Brett Summers from Match Game, she's not going to show up.
Nothing
turn
like
the love
that.
Boat.
No,
anyway, I guess I do have some of the ratings. This is from, from sci-fi.com itself, that Friday, Sci-Fi Friday is the biggest night, on sci-fi television history. Now, Galactica, right? So anyway, they're beating both Stargate SG-1 and Atlantis in the ratings.
As of the last couple of weeks, they have been.
Yeah, well, it's the newest.
I don't know if that's going to hold, but that's been the case.
I hope so. It's the newest show. I mean, Stargate SG-1, that show's, you know, come on. I mean, that show's been hanging in there for how long? And then what's his name? Keeps saying he's going to quit, yet he keep bringing it back. It must be obviously to throw more money at him, but still.
I can't really say what's going on with that show, but I.
Who? Richard Dean Anderson?
MacGyver? If the ratings, you know, continue to this trend, I really wouldn't be.
And then at SG Atlantis, I mean, that's okay too, but it's the same damn show back to back. I mean, they go through that damn gate and they come out.
It's like CSI Miami and then CSI New York.
How much of it do you need?
Yeah, exactly. And then I thought maybe it was a mistake putting Galactica third, but I mean, I guess because the adult theme and everything, they had to, you know, put it there because more of an adult show than for the kids. I mean,
so this doesn't mean they're going to bring back Buck Rogers.
No, I hope not. You haven't heard about a Buck Rogers revival, have you?
I actually have heard just smitterings of talk about a Buck Rogers revival. I mean, you're going to hear talk about
everything.
Basically, any property that has any kind of name recognition, you're going to, you know, somebody's going to try to bring it back.
Buck Rogers, give me a. What's he going to announce? He's going to fall asleep now, wake up in the 30th. He's going to wake up in the 30th century.
There's things you could do with Buck to make him interesting. I mean, look what Dino De Laurentiis did with Flash Gordon. You know, take that approach to it. It could be a lot of fun.
There's only one Flash Gordon movie, though.
Say what?
There was only one Flash Gordon movie, though.
Well, that's true. But what a heck of a movie it was, though.
It was kind of a tongue-in-cheek. It was a little campy.
Feels about it, but anyway.
It was a little campy movie, but
campy, but that's how it was supposed to be.
Yeah. And going to ratings again, where are we here? Galactica at 10 o'clock was the number two program in cable among 18 to 34, which is a key audience for all the networks, really. That's where they make their advertising money, is off those younger viewers.
Absolutely.
And then CSI, along with Sister Network USA, led NBC Universal Cable Networks in dominating the night. The kind of combined strength of Monk, which I can't stand that show, Galactica, Stargate Atlantis, SG-1. They claim four of the top five shows among 25 to 54 for that night. So there's some 50-year-old, 54-year-old people watching that show. So I'm not the oldest one watching it. But and then Galactica had a 2.3 household rating, which is pretty good for damn good for cable. What else? Faced and defeated its competition. Let's see. The series delivered 1.4 among men 25 to 54. The show delivered 1.4 million viewers and more than 13 million viewers more than 13 of the 20 shows that aired on the broadcast networks that night. So that shows the strength of that show. It could even defeat the network programs. I mean, that's damn good.
They've got to be happy. Over
yeah.
Sci-Fi and over.
And then not only that,
they're probably very happy.
Now the big feather in the cap is it defeated Star Trek Enterprise.
Yep.
So,
yep. I'm sure somebody had that in the back of their mind as one of their goals at some point.
Yeah, put on up against the Cadet show. I mean, I watched the first, I said, the first several episodes. I'm like, oh, this show. I mean, I think they misaimed the show. And I keep saying over and over, they should head on in the same time frame as all the other pro shows.
Right.
That
right,
way they can have
right,
guest stars.
Well, I've never seen an episode of the show myself.
It's okay, but I mean, it's hard to imagine that, you know, that's before the original Star Trek series, and the special effects are so much better.
Yeah,
you gotta expect it. It's okay.
You get the Star Wars Episode One, you know,
yeah.
From there is what.
And
happened.
Then they did this whole thing with some devastating attack on Earth, but we never knew or heard about it in the shows. That
right.
I mean,
right.
What happened? They messed up with the continuity there.
Is that the one with Scott Bakula?
Yeah, right. Quantum Leap. And
well, all that means is that those writers they had in the 60s were hacks, and they should have fired them because they didn't have their, you know, their stuff together. Obviously, they should have had the foresight. That's all I have to say about that.
Well, I also think it goes to like Ronald Moore. I mean, like I said, he was the man behind it. And so, what was it? The last Star Trek, the Next Generation movie, All Good Things. I mean, I almost said So It Goes, but I mean, that was an excellent episode of The Next Generation.
Oh, yeah, it really
and
was.
And it just shows, I mean, the man lives for this genre, it appears. I mean, you know, he's got, you know, those last couple seasons of The Next Generation were excellent. You know, in the middle two or three seasons, I pretty much gave up because the show got too preachy. But the last couple, I mean, it got a little more serious and the stories a little more together. And those last several episodes was they packed a wallop. I mean,
they were those last couple seasons were excellent, and that was the last Star Trek show that I watched with any regularity. And I still watch them when they come on and rerun stuff, and I think a lot of them still hold up today. They're very impressive.
Now, as I know, Starfire in the chat room is asking about what about the scripts that were ordered. Now, what's NBC ordered? What, six more scripts?
From my understanding, they ordered six more scripts to just basically to be ready to go, and to, you know, I'm sure just to have, you know, set designs and whatever, and just, you know, and call sheets and whatever laid out ready, just in case they're, you know, ready to go on whatever date that they decide that go day is, which we've been hearing different reports. Some people have heard February 1st, some people have heard February 15th, some people have heard later on this week, you know, we don't really know yet, but... I don't really know much about that other than what's been reported, other than they've got them in hand, and so they know what the first six episodes will be when they're ready to go for the cameras.
Now, when would they start filming, do you think? Somebody said April.
I heard April. That's what I've heard as well.
So then basically it would probably be the same time frame as the shows we're watching now, then.
I would be guessing that if they start filming in April, we would be looking at a fall premiere date the same as we did about the same time frame as the UK received the show this past fall, which was, I believe, started in early November, something like that, maybe.
Now, do you think they'll keep it the same amount of episodes, 13 shows, or will they go for the full, you know, 22, 20, depends on, you know what
it's hard to say. Yeah. It really depends on what their long-term strategy is and whether they're really trying to focus this for syndication sales down the road or not, in my opinion. You're seeing a lot more shows go to the 13-episode format, and there's a lot... Production-wise, there's a lot to be said for it, just as far as cost and feasibility. Mm-hmm. But it really depends. If you ask me for an educated guess, I would say we would see another 13-episode season. But
very good.
That's just my educated guess.
Yeah, because how many? I don't know if you know how many does Stargate and Atlantis do? Is it 13 or?
I believe they do a 22-episode season.
Wow.
Don't quote me on it because I don't watch the show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're not as effects. Well, Galactica's not really full of effects either. I mean, they got a lot of CGI work to do on the ships and everything else.
It's an expensive genre any way you go.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
the most expensive genre to produce.
Like I said, a lot of people.
Like I said, I
rather have quality than quantity. You know, like Galactica, I have 13 episodes a season. It's a good quality show.
Because that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, because you get down to 22 episodes, and some of the shows, you know, kind of. I mean, in the original series, they did some of these nutty.
You end up with filler.
Yeah.
Unless you've got, you know, unless your writing staff is just on 24/7 and playing their A game, which is, you know, isn't going to happen all the time.
Yeah.
Aren't a lot of, like, the. HBO series, like 13 episodes?
I believe all of them are 13
All of them
episodes.
Are, yeah. Because I know Sex and the City was, I think they did 15 shows or something like that, so they're all pretty much about the same, which is good, though.
That having been said, those HBO episodes are produced with less of an eye towards future syndication sales than shows like this would be.
Mm.
But at the same time, you know, there's still advantages of those 13-episode seasons, just like we said. So.
Yeah, you almost have to wonder, though, if Universal is looking to, you know, maybe take Galactica off sci-fi and syndicate like they did with Next Generation, because they could probably make more money off the show in syndication.
They definitely could if it becomes feasible for them.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised any way they went if it became that successful. If it became successful, as some people think it will, you know, anything could happen.
And yet, but you see, then again, you got to look at Stargate. That was started off on was Showtime or something like that, and then they syndicated it, and then they brought it over to sci-fi. So I don't know. I mean, maybe they could do both. I mean, air original episodes on sci-fi and then air the reruns on in syndication. I don't know.
They could do both. They could do something like what's been done with Monk, where they're airing it on NBC as like a summer replacement. You know, and that's just a win-win situation for them. You know, it costs them absolutely nothing.
Well,
and the value of the show goes up for it. So
yeah, and of course, and as NBC put on the Galactica miniseries, severely edited, of course, on with the weekend before the series started on a Saturday night, correct?
I believe so.
And then a lot of people were complaining it was, you know, butchered down because they only had 2 hours and it's a 4-hour miniseries. So I mean, some of the edits were like mind-boggling. Like, here we go, and the whole show just shifted, and then one come back from a commercial, and you're in a whole different part of the miniseries.
It was a little jarring, but I mean, it's just. Speaking, you know, as an editor, I think they did an excellent job of it. I think they did about as good a job of it as could have been done. I think it kept its coherency. I think it flowed pretty well for what they had to do. They were facing a pretty big job there.
Yeah. Now, have you talked to any of the stars? I know I've been talking to Aaron Douglas off and on about coming on. I just want to see how this show did before you.
Aaron, I've talked to off and on. He's the only one I've had direct contact with. I've talked with representatives of several of the others.
Hmm.
But Aaron's the only one that I've talked to with personally.
Yeah, it seems like he's really into the show. I mean, I'm sure they all are to an extent, but I mean, for him, it seems like it's more. I watched The Lowdown and listened to him. He's like, he was a huge fan of the show when the original series, and then he's really enjoying being
He's just having a good time.
Yeah.
He's just, you know, he's a young actor, just having a good time in a job that he likes, I think. And it's just infectious. You can just tell.
Yeah, and I think he's the one that realizes that this is something big. I mean, if the fans stay on it and keep it going, this is going to be huge, like the Next Generation was.
I really think it could be.
Yeah.
It could be. I think they're on to something there.
Yeah, and I think he sees that, and I think Ronald Moore sees that. I mean, he sees what can come of this, because, you know, there's nothing else like this on the air. I mean, Enterprise is floundering, and it probably won't be back next season, correct? I mean, I can't see it surviving.
I'm not sure, but I've heard words both ways, but yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
And what else is there? Andromeda, I think that's done after this year, too, and that show is awful. I hate to say it, but it's true. I mean, the ship looked like...
Actually, I did watch an episode or two, because I believe I heard that Alex Lifeson from Rush was doing the music. And
really?
I think that's all I watched.
Yeah, they did all that guitar stuff. I remember I saw that somewhere that they did the opening music. They did like 1,000 electric guitars during that opening thing.
That's really all I remember. that's the limit of my experience with Andromeda.
And then, Mae Jo Roddenberry, she's so supposedly found the thing in some kind of trunk and gave, I don't know. But, I mean, the show itself is just, and it's turning more like a vehicle for Sorbo, it seems like to me. I mean, it's all about him now, you know?
The few times I have watched it, I've just gotten kind of make a judgment on it, because I haven't really watched it enough to make a judgment. It's just giving off kind of a silly vibe to me. It just seems kind of, I don't know.
And then, whereas Galactica now, almost McDonald, of course, that leads to the show, yet, I know it was this show or the one before, when Ty fell off the wagon. Was it Bastille Day when he fell off the wagon? When he started drinking?
You're going to go asking me fans.
I think so. But anyway, I mean, it seems like...
the answers right off.
No, that's okay. He had more lines than... It seems like he had more lines than Almost or McDonald, which is...
He had a couple of big scenes there.
Yeah, and then I like that. I like that they're not demanding that they're in every other scene.
No, they're really treating it as an ensemble cast here. They really are. And you can tell that Olmos and McDonald are really being generous and leveling that playing field. I mean, everybody's kind of gotten their just due. I think.
Especially this past show with Jamie Bamber. I mean, he was in the whole show. I mean,
oh, absolutely, yeah. They've given him a couple of good. Well, when you said the last show, see, I'm
talking about Bastille Day.
Bastille Day, yeah, they gave him a great showcase in Bastille Day.
Yeah, and then he had some interaction with his father and then Laura Rosalind. But, I mean, basically it was his show, it seemed like.
Yeah, it pretty much was. And there's several episodes in the season like that that kind of do focus on one character here and there.
Very good. And then, well, I know there's one coming up about Colonel Ty. It kind of focuses on him, right?
Yeah, and a great episode with Colonel Ty. Yeah. And we'll find out some things about his past and... Yeah. And that type of episode was a lot of fun. Actually, Olmos directs that episode. Does a fantastic job at it, too.
Who directed it?
Olmos directs that one.
Oh, really?
Edward James Olmos.
Yeah.
It seems like, I don't know if a lot of the shows are going to start doing this, but it's kind of like Lost.
Galactica? Is Lost? What are you talking about?
Well, what I'm trying to say is the way they do the story. Lost, you know, they start, you see a crash, and then...
And then every week you focus on different.
The first three or four episodes you kind of focus on everybody because everything is just going happening at the same time. And then as you go into the characters, they start focusing more on this character each episode.
I don't think they'll be doing it to that extent, but they're definitely just trying to build these characters and trying to make them, you know, more than just two dimensional cutouts. And they're giving them, you know, I think they've done a great job in balancing, you know, the most interesting stories and putting and really getting these people across as people.
Yeah, actually, in the chat room, Dr. Baltar is saying that Ty is a bigger character than Adama.
Ty is my favorite character on the show, by far.
Adama is basically the hard-ass military guy, more or less, on the show. And he's
not one note. He's got some depth to him, but it's a more restrained role than Ty. Ty gets to have more fun in his role.
Yeah, and Ty seems like he's the SOB on the show. It seems
he's a little bit of one. He's a likable SOB.
Yeah, yeah. And he barked at the crew when what's her name? That's it. When the Olympic carrier didn't make the jump, and you know, he's barking at the crew. We all got to do our jobs.
Right.
And I thought that.
They give him several nice moments coming up.
And then he had that scene with Starbuck, with her, you know, her bringing the water to him, they drink it and everything else.
Fantastic scene.
And he just misses her because, you know, he said her problems are professional and his are personal. I mean, I like the chemistry between those two.
That was actually the first scene where I really thought the two of them had really nailed those characters. Yeah. I enjoyed her work in the previous few episodes, mm-hmm. but that's part when I thought she had really settled in and made that character her own there.
And what about the rumors that they're going to reveal that she's actually his daughter? I hope not.
I don't know if those rumors were anything more than a few, you know, fan posts that got, you know, more responses than they probably deserve. But I can't say because I don't know if it's going to happen. If it does happen, I would have to see how they handle it before I'd make a judgment on it. Just hearing it offhand, it sounds like something I wouldn't want them to do.
What about this other rumor that Charo is going to make a guest appearance?
That one I haven't heard yet.
I hope not. No, I'm just kidding.
Maybe, you know, after seeing her on the Surreal Life a few months ago,
as long as
she brings her guitar along.
I'm just kidding. Now, a lot of the boards are.
Is she going to be on that planet with the with the gambling?
She's on the casino planet.
Yeah. Now
she's running the Coochie Coochie Show.
I hear that now a lot of people are wanting them to remake episodes from the original series. And, of course, you know, they want to do the one with the Pegasus and Count Ibley. I really hope they don't. I said, what do you think? Do you hope they read?
I like the idea of just starting from a fresh slate. What I liked about – I was a fan of the old show, of course, which is why I'm a fan of the new show. And I was, you know, 8 years old at the time, and it was pretty much, you know, illegal to not be a fan of it back then. But that having been said, I think the strength of the old show was in its premise and its core story, which is what has been recycled and reimagined here. And I don't really think they should necessarily go back and fish for storylines with the old series. There's not really enough of them that stand out in my head as things that need to be redone or would necessarily fit in the universe that they've created now. And I see the Pegasus storyline. I know a lot of fans love it, and I could see where that one could possibly work. And maybe if that was handled completely differently than it was handled before, that might be okay. But, you know, overall, I would say I hope they keep coming up with fresh ideas rather than going back for them.
Yeah. Actually, I want
little nods to the series here and there are okay. Like in the, well, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but there's a nice little nod to the only decent episode of Galactica 1980, the one that was that it featured Starbuck, the return of Starbuck, where he was stranded on a planet with a Cylon.
Yeah.
And there's a nice little nod to that in an upcoming episode. Now, stuff like that, I think, is good, because it does, you know, does pay homage to the old show without necessarily having to recycle things and be locked into a storyline that everybody knows the resolution of already from 25 years ago.
Yeah. Now, once again, I have Zinu in the on the show from GalacticaStation.com. The chat room's asking who you are and where you're from and everything. So you're on. Where planet you from? You from PyCon?
I'm from PyCon. Yeah. Well, actually, my parents were from Capri, but I'm actually from Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh no, that's at Sagittarius, isn't it? I thought they blew that one up, didn't they?
No, we're still here. No, they missed us. They got they got Memphis, I think.
I like because I remember on the original show they did the thing with Lauren Green saying, here they come, all the ships coming from Sagittarius from both. I'm a Taurus. They never mentioned Taurus at all, but in this one they mentioned Tauran, but Tauran got obliterated though. What?
Tauran.
But they never mentioned Tauran in the original show. It was every other astrology thing besides Tauran, Taurus, for some reason.
Larson's ex-wife was a Taurus, and
there you go.
You wanted to exclude that one for some reason.
Almost as a Taurus.
Yeah, that's what they threw it in.
But anyway, and then now, do you know anything about their contracts? Are they all locked in for a long run on this show? Or
believe they've all got options. And from what I understand, no contracts have been signed as of yet, or at least not that they're revealing. But I'm guessing those are locked into the same dates that we're talking about for hearing about a renewal.
Really? And
I'm
of course,
sure they're just sitting on a table with pens next to them somewhere, but don't quote me on that. I haven't, I don't have any inside information that anyone else doesn't have.
Yeah. And then, of course, now they have Laura Roslin, Mary McDonald's character, with breast cancer, and everybody's wondering how long is she going to live on the show because, don't they have chemo or what?
Apparently they have some kind of herbal therapy. Apparently homeopathic medicine has advanced a lot in the.
And they're gonna try it on the doctor. I think next week, right? The doctor
like
and
that. But they
that's a guy from soap.
Just from little comments that I've heard her make, and I would guess that she's gonna make it at least to next season. I would have to guess, but I'm not sure. I haven't heard her say anything that would make me think that she's planning on an earlier exit than anyone else in the show.
Yeah. But, I mean, I should look him up with something. And like I said, the doctor is played by that guy from a soap. He played the prisoner that was...
He's a character actor. Yeah. I don't remember his name, but it took me about 2 hours of kicking myself in the head in bed one night trying to figure out where I'd seen him before.
So they saw him like, oh, man, that's the doctor. That's the guy from soap. But, and a lot of people are saying if they do remake, I'll go back to the Pegasus thing again, that if they do remake it, they want to see Don Johnson playing Commander Kane. I imagine they'd go for that. I mean, that'd be a big gimmick, ratings viewer grab right there.
I would be fine with Don Johnson. I think that's a better choice than Dirk Benedict. I think Don Johnson's actually, a halfway decent actor when you give him something to do. So I can see that.
Well, with Dirk Benedict, I mean, I imagine they could do it. If Ty's not her father, they can do a flashback perhaps with Benedict being her father or something like that. Have him be her academy instructor or something of some sort, if they're going to do
Maybe
that.
Maybe they could. It's not. I wouldn't do it if I was in charge of the show, but I guess it's something they could do.
Yeah. And so we got.
Well, wouldn't it seem fair if they're going to give the old Apollo a cameo to give Dirk a...
I don't know. I mean, what do you think? Is anyone they're going to think they'll go into that well all the time to give all these original episodes?
If it was me, like I said, I wouldn't do it. Necessarily. I think the reason Hatch is up there now is because of the history he's had with the franchise over the last 10 years or so, and because of all the issues that arose and what came out of it. I think that's probably more reason than anything else. But it's possible that they could. I'm just not sure how necessary it is.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how much it would add to anything. I'm not sure it would pull in any new viewers that weren't there already. And so, I mean, they could. If it's done well, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
But just like I'm all for anything else that's done well.
Yeah, and then I don't know if you saw in this episode aired here at Bastille Day, when there are the two Cylons around the planet Caprica talking about how they're all dead or something like that, and the parents have to die for the children to reach their full potential, whatever it was. And they cut away to Richard Hatch's character. I thought that was kind of like, like a passing of the baton. A lot of people don't see that as that. They see, oh no, it's crazy. But I think the parent being the original series, and now they show how he's passing the baton to the new show.
I'll have to see that scene again because I didn't really interpret it that way. You mentioning that does make me think of one thing that I thought was interesting along those lines. In one of the previews that Sci-Fi was running before the show aired, the closing scene right before after they said, Battlestar Galactica coming this fall on Sci-Fi, the last scene was of Hatch from the Bastille Day episode saying something like, "Today is the first day of the new era," and then fade to black. And I thought that was certainly intentional on somebody's part.
If
Hatch wasn't intentionally passing the torch, they were certainly at least making it
alluding to
that
it.
He was.
And also probably to rile up the original series fans, because a lot of them are still bitter about this, and some have kind of given up the ghost, right?
There's a few unhappy people out there still. Yeah. There's a few fans who a fan is short for fanatic, and so there's a few of them out there that are like that. There's several others that aren't happy with the way things turned out because they did put a lot of time and effort into campaigning for the way they wanted things to turn out, and it didn't. So understandably, some of them might be disappointed.
Yeah.
And there's just as many, if not more, that have, initially been against the idea of the new show, but once they saw it and saw, how good it actually was, they were they've become hooked now.
Yeah, I'll just let you know here that this is probably one of the most listened to shows in LV Rocks has had in quite a while, right? Yeah, because as I let you know, that everybody's out there. I was concerned that I don't know if the Galactica fans would come in here and listen to the show or not, but I'm glad. I think I told you that too, Zeno, that I wasn't sure if this is a good idea or not.
Well, I'm glad you had the turnout.
Yeah,
great.
It's pretty big. One of the biggest shows in the history of LV Rocks, if I'm correct. And I know it beats the show before me, and it beats the wrestling show on Sunday. That's all I know. Yeah, we only had three listeners on that one last week. But
you haven't made it in broadcast until you beat the wrestling show.
Hey, we know Galactica can take the wrestling show. The Galactica fans can beat the hell out of the wrestling show fans because it's amazing. I keep saying it's like, I'm 38. I've been in and out of in the wrestling business for years here in Vegas, and I've done all these shows and everything, wrestling shows, and the strength and the I don't know, the energy of these fans, it reminds me of the WWF fans from the 90s. I mean, they're so into Galactica.
The fans that are out there are extremely into it. They're a very vocal fan base.
Yeah, and here's a show that barely lasted the season it was on originally, and it's been floundering, in the mothballs for 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. And then, it's been made fun of, and Lucas made fun of it. And he's tried to sue. I remember when they hired John Dykstra to do the special effects. He tried to sue, and he sued because the concept was a ripoff of his Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And they all laughed off. It was crap. It was like the Love Boat in space, and during that time, it's all it was. He was bashing away at this show. And then, then it gets canceled. And then the theme song turns up on the airplane mm-hmm. movies with Robert Hayes. Yeah. And then you see it in some of these goofy commercials about TVs. You see the ships, the Cylon ship whipping around in these little, they're starting trying to sell a TV, and you see a scene from the old Cylons. This little cheap stuff. And then, the buildup. I mean, the Galacticon, I guess, was just huge. I guess the fans just stuck to the show like glue. And then, and then they're reimagining of it, and it's kind of split the fan base up a little bit into the ones that like it and ones that don't. But my God, I mean, the strength is just amazing of these fans.
It really is incredible. And yeah. I mean, and you and I are close to the same age, and I think a lot of it is just the fact that when we were growing up in that time, after the Star Wars era, or whatever you like to call it, I mean, there was pretty much no way you couldn't have gotten swept up in that when you were a kid.
Yeah.
And there's no way that can, for most people anyway, produce anything but just, happy nostalgic memories. And I think that's, that's what a lot of love for that show is. It's just, it's a reminder of just, some really cool, things blowing up in space when you were, 8, 10, 12 years old or whatever.
Well, it's the last big sci-fi franchise that's out there. I mean, Star Trek has been beat to death for, I think you said, since 1980, whatever the hell it was, Star Trek's been on here since 1980. And that, and plus that, it's not counting the original show. So we've been hit over the head with Star Trek for probably 40 years.
Yeah, close to it.
Yeah, right. And then in the Star Wars was kind of beat to death. And like I said, I didn't see the second of these new movies. I'm not going to see the third one either. Just it's over-commercialized.
Yeah. not missing anything.
You know, and then they got the Jar Jar Binks characters, and they got those guys sound like they're Japanese guys, you know, the whatever the hell they are. And then I don't know if he's lost his touch. He won't let anybody else get in and work on it with them. I mean, I think
I think it's a combination of all. That's a whole other conversation there.
Yeah, but. I mean, I think, good Lord, if you let Ronald Moore get his hands on Star Wars, I think you're looking at a whole new can of worms there with.
Hand it over to Lawrence Kasdan or one of the other guys that did a fine job before, or just anybody, I would think, at this point. But
yeah,
that's the whole of the can of worms.
Yeah, and then just a lot of it, like I said, Andromeda, it's just not there's nothing there. It's okay, but Galactica really seems to have grabbed on. I mean, especially if it's in the ratings, it's kicking, it's beating SG Atlantis and SG-1. Those are pretty solid franchises there.
Those are solid franchises. As surprised I am that they've become solid franchises, they are. And because of kind of the dearth of sci-fi right now, I'm not real surprised that this show has done what it's done, because just simply because of the quality of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you're right. It's one of the last big guys out there. I mean, there's a couple other sleeping guns. I mentioned Flash Gordon earlier. I mean, I still think I haven't seen the last of him and Buck Rogers and those guys. Yeah. Those guys are going to be back within the next decade in some way, shape, or form. But I mean, it's one of the last big epic franchises out there.
Yeah. Here, Raimi is saying that Star Trek had 10 movies and 7 series. Wow. I mean,
I've never added up, but I guess it's right.
I guess that's counting the animated series too. But I mean, that last movie, the concept was okay, but it was horrendous. Some of it they just dropped. It seems like they dropped the ball on. I mean, especially not including Spock and some of the others in it.
I didn't even see the last one was. Give me the title. Nemesis was that the
Nemesis,
last one?
Nemesis. Yeah. What about Doctor Who is supposed to be coming back as well.
Very excited about the new Doctor Who.
Yeah. So
I don't know. Doctor Who come. I hope we get somebody picks it up for first run in America before too awful long. I don't
sci-fi.
Think we've been a distribution deal yet, but hopefully we'll get to see it over here.
Well, sci-fi was smart. They'd pick it up, and air it. Probably that'd be kind of nice to have. Air before Galactica. That's interesting. I didn't realize. I was looking at Monday's TV schedule. They re-aired the Friday night Sci-Fi Friday night on Monday up against the WWE. I don't know if you noticed that.
Didn't notice that.
Yeah.
How did it do?
I apparently did quite well. I didn't get the ratings from this past Monday yet, but I mean that was interesting scheduling. I don't know if they're trying to siphon off the Raw ratings.
Well, from same demographic there. And it's a solid performer, WWE. So I don't know.
Yeah. Now I just wonder how many people are going to watch that. They've already seen it before on Friday. Going to turn it on Monday to watch it again. I mean, I don't know. Now we only got a couple minutes left, but actually we're almost out of time. We are out of time. But anyway, I'm going to go over just a couple minutes. Now, when these 13 shows are over, are they going to go air the reruns?
They pretty much try to run their shows into the ground. So I imagine we'll be seeing plenty of reruns once the show's over, unless they come up with something else to fill their schedule and they've got, they can happily keep it off until the next season.
I've suggested that they re-air the 13 episodes, fine, but they do that with cast commentary during those 13 shows.
I think that would be a fantastic idea.
Yeah, that's
do that with a lot of things. I also would not be entirely surprised to see it cropping up on NBC, like I said, as a
summer
series or something.
Probably
like
on Saturdays. Saturdays is the lowest viewership on network TV. Mm-hmm. And then also, a lot of people are suggested that they'll re-air the classic series during the hiatus of this show. I don't know. They'll re-air the classic. Do you think they'll re-air the old Galactica show?
I would actually think they would probably try more of that if they don't get the ratings that they want this season. If they get maybe just enough to renew it, I think they would try a big push.
Mm-hmm.
As it is, I can't really see them. I wouldn't think they would want to oversaturate it at that point.
Really.
That would just be my opinion. But
I think they'll just leave it alone or just re-air the reruns?
I imagine that you would see reruns and stuff like that, and I would imagine you would see a big push for season 2, but I wouldn't think you would see round-the-clock marathons and stuff like we saw before the series aired.
Wow.
That would just be my opinion, but I don't know.
Wow, that's interesting. And we only got we're kind of going over our time. We're running over a little bit like Ted Koppel. Once again, this is Zeno from GalacticaStation.com. Do you have anything you want to say to the fans, the viewers out there?
I want to say hi to everybody out there on the sci-fi board, Starfire. I'm not going to forget you. And all the guys over at our site, over at www.galacticastation.com, to Blade Runner and Kenny Rules and Matt65 and Viper Pilot Mama and Ernest Borgnine, all the guys that helped me out over there, and just to all the fans, and come on over to the site and come to the board and check us out.
All right.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
All right.
All right, thank you. Once again, it was Zenu from GalacticaStation.com, and we appreciate him coming on. And
this ship received word.
Oh, there's almost again. Wait, we can't shut him up, can we?
Worlds is underway.
He's more of a PR hog than I thought almost was.
We are at war.
Anyway, this is subject to discussion. Next week, I'm going to see what I'm going to do. Either we go back into politics, or maybe we'll do another Galactica show. I'm not sure yet. But anyway, y'all have a good night, and we'll
slowly
see you next week.
Across the heavens in search of their ancestral brothers, a tribe of humans.
And my email, if anybody wants to email me, it's smduwf. Don't ask me what the UWF stands for. It's an old wrestling promotion here in town. At yahoo.com.
Oh, you don't have a Elvie Rex email?
No, no. I think I do, but I don't remember the password.
Oh,
shut up.
I'm
trying to look intelligent here for all these Galactica fans. But anyway, enjoy the original music, and we'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.